talking about faithfulness this whole month, and a verse that we'll probably say a lot over the course of this month, and hopefully you'll memorize by the end of June. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And this is something that we're going to discuss about faithfulness and your faithfulness to God, and your faithfulness to God's word. And I just want us to just kind of look at that word stewards in 1 Corinthians 4, 2. It can also be meant to say managers. It is required in managers to be found faithful. I'm not sure how many of you are business owners, but if you are a business owner, I think that you desire to find a good manager, one who is faithful, because that manager needs to be faithful to the things that you give them responsibility and charge over. So a manager is one who would be faithful to the owner and the business, and who will assist the owner in the success of that business. I don't believe there's any business owner who has a plaque behind their desk that says, "I'm shooting to fail." I don't believe that there's a business owner that creates and starts a business only just to fail the next day. There's a purpose behind starting a business, and it's to have a business. But in finding a manager, one would hope to find one who is faithful. A manager is given authority by the owner to manage that business and to help with the day-to-day functions and the burdens that may come about from that business. Therefore, stewards or managers don't own. They don't own the business. They steward and manage the business. They help and assist the owner. Let me ask you this question, and it might sound weird, but this is a question that I've been, it's been floating in my head all week long. What does a married couple of 40 years, a college professor, and a retired military veteran have in common? Go back to slide one. The answer is faithfulness. Faithfulness. To be married for 40 years, still be married, not, you know, still in love, still married, not calling it quits. Faithfulness. A college professor, to even teach in college, it just doesn't happen that you graduate to be a teacher and then the very next day you get an offer from Harvard. It just doesn't happen. And then also being in the military, I only did 4 years, so I only know a smidgen of what it means to be in the military for 20 plus years. So marriage takes work, and therefore faithfulness to love and remain in that love. Being a college professor, it's not entitled. It's because you've earned through the years of faithfulness in teaching well. And of course, a retired military veteran, it's either you stay because of the children. It's kind of a joke that was made earlier in Sunday school. You missed it. But, you know, you either stay in because you got a, you know, a house full of kids that you got to, you know, take care of. Or it's just because of the fact that you've chosen to be faithful in your service to your country. The proof of our commitment to the Lord resides in our faithfulness. How long will we serve the Lord? There's a verse that says that the just will live by faith. Well, that only determines how long you'll be just. It determines on how long you live by that faith in the Lord. You see, we need to consider and understand why Paul said this, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Why did he say this to the Corinthian believers, that they were to be found faithful? And then we need to look, and in a little bit, we're going to look at some of the verses in chapter 3. But I'm thinking that it's because he is encouraging them to be faithful in ministry and in the wisdom of God's calling. The ministry is God ordained. You didn't just wake up one morning and say, "I think I'll give God a try." No, God in the Spirit of God has been dealing with you and drawing you and leading you to himself, allowing you to see the sin that you are stuck in and allowing you to see there is light. Like Shannon was saying earlier in the word of the Lord gave to her, that he has pulled us out of darkness. How many of you are glad he pulled you out of darkness? And he's led us into his marvelous light. And so it's God ordained. And we know that it is God empowered, because we cannot live this life on our own. We cannot do the things that God has called us on our own. It's not by your intellect either. It's not by how good looking you think you are. It is by God's power. And it is by his Spirit that he gives to every believer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself." You can stand. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Father, I thank you for your word today. And I pray that all of us in this room would listen, Lord, and that we would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit gives us revelation of your word today. God, you have called your people into a ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile the world, the people who are lost, to a loving God, to a saving Savior, to a loving Savior. I pray, Father, that we would listen and we would receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church, man, it is required in stewards and managers that one would be found faithful. See, we are not to boast in the world's wisdom. And that's what was being spoken of by Paul in chapter 3, verses 18 and to the end of chapter 3. We're not to boast in the world's wisdom. We're not even supposed to boast in man. Paul even said, don't look at me, look to Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. And so God is who calls us to follow him. God empowers us to do his will. And he's given his Spirit, and he's given every believer in this room a ministry. Now, you might say, well, yeah, well, you know, my ministry is to, you know, say hi to people when I come to church. Your ministry is more involved than just saying hi to people when you go to church. Your ministry is more involved than that. God has given you his Spirit so that you can conduct and accomplish his will and his call on your life. Now, there are many people who consider themselves as wise, but when it comes to their intellect, when it comes to their wisdom, they will find out on one particular day that their eternal destination is real. And all the intellect they've accrued here on earth, man, it's just going to end them empty-handed and separated from God. Their wisdom and greatness is, they would say, is based on their achievements or material collections. What they've achieved and what they've collected over life, only to one day discover everything's going to pass away. Everything's going to be gone, but God and his word will never pass away. Because we are God's children saved by grace through the work of Christ on that cross, we have been given such a spiritual responsibility that we must strive to be found what? Faithful. Faithful in him. Now, the end of this month, I just want to quickly just mention this. We are going to celebrate 30 years of ministry at the end of this month, June 30th. We're going to have a little celebration afterwards. So please plan on fellowshipping with us, worshiping with us, and then fellowshipping with us over some food afterwards. But this is an amazing thing because back in 1989, a husband and wife team with their family, their two daughters, answered God's call for ministry here at Hidden Treasures in Camden County. It is because of their faithfulness, look around, it's because their faithfulness that we are able to assemble here to praise and worship God, and which was a remarkable worship service this morning, to learn of him, and to have the great privilege of coming together as the body of Christ. But I want to point something out because I'm going to mention the Dial family quite often. The focus is not on Robert and Lou Dial. It's not on their daughters. The focus is on God because they surrendered themselves to the Lord. They humbled themselves to the Lord and the Lord used them. Because if at a certain time, somewhere in May of 1989, they decided we're not going to Kingsland, God would have raised somebody else up. So the focus is God and God using them. And that is what I'm thankful for because it is God who worked in them and through them. Our faithfulness, their faithfulness does three things that we're going to talk about today. Number one, it attracts others. Number two, it blesses or benefits others. And number three, it creates for divine moments. My first point, our faithfulness to God attracts people. Let's go to Luke chapter 8, verse 42 in the New Living Translation. We find here that Jesus, I mean, for those of you that have read the Gospels, you've kind of figured out that where Jesus went, a slew of people followed him. And so here Jesus, it says in verse 42, Jesus went with him. Who's him? This is a guy by the name of Jairus, and his daughter is sick. And he went to Jesus and told Jesus, can you come to my house because my daughter is deathly sick? And so Jesus went with him, and he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, the hem of his garment. Immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." Kind of gives us a picture. There's a slew of people around Jesus. And he said, "Who touched me?" And Peter says, "What are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. Everybody's around you. I can't even breathe. Everyone is around you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out of me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd is still there, heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So thankful that we, in this story, we have to find this word faith involved in her healing. It wasn't her. It wasn't because of the fact of, you know, how she grew up or her intellect, but her faith in God, her faith in what Jesus can do. You see, when we look to Jesus, our perfect example, we see how his faithfulness to the Father drew crowds to see what he was going to do, to hear what he was going to say. And everything that Jesus said, to say all that the Father told him to say, when people heard it, it was out of the ordinary. It was extraordinary. Things that they had never heard before. And times when he had said, "You have heard it say this, but I say do this." Reaching to the hearts of people, not just saying what other people have said. He had something new to say. When Jesus did all that the Father told him to do, it was both miraculous and astounding. That's what drew the crowds, because of his faithfulness to the Father to do and to say all that the Father wanted him to do. I wonder how many people would begin to listen to us, follow us, maybe not follow us in droves all the way to our house, but I mean, we find this out in Hollywood. I mean, a person can't go. They have to be hidden and put a cap on and dress like all raggedy clothes and sweatpants just to go get a bagel and a coffee. Why? Because they don't want a slew of people around them. And that's just Hollywood stuff, because in eternity, if they don't have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're going to be like the people that I mentioned before, empty-handed and separated from God. But here, Jesus, wherever he went, go to the next slide too, please. Faithfulness is like a magnet. Go to the next one, please. Our faithfulness to God, it'll attract people. Because it's not them seeing us, it's them seeing Jesus in us. It's them seeing God's work in us. That is what causes this attractive people coming to us. The moment that you begin to surrender all for the Lord and to become faithful to him, someone is going to see something different about. I see something different. I don't know, but you're just not the same as yesterday. You're just not the same person I used to know. Someone will see something attractive about you, and that's Jesus. But when months or years go by and they still see that faith, but now it's full of honesty, they see that your life, there's truth to what you're saying. Because I remember you back in high school, and I caught up with you at our 10-year reunion. Now at our 20-year reunion, you're still following, you're still a Christian. You're what? Sometimes people are amazed when I tell them what we've been doing. That God sent me to this place in 97, that we became youth ministers, that in 2009, and they say, "You're still at the same church?" Like, they're shocked. And I'm like, at one point in time, I was shocked. I really wanted to leave. But God, I didn't realize that this was the reason why I wasn't supposed to leave. Because I was going to pastor this church. But they see you months or years later, full of honesty, full of commitment, full of resiliency. "Wait a minute, I heard you went through a lot of stuff and you're still serving God?" Yes, because my God is always faithful. My God always supplies. My God always provides. My God is always there for me. So because of your faithfulness, it attracts people. Let's go to Acts chapter 5, verse 12. In the New King James Version, it says, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly." Verse 14. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Let me remind you, with the exception of Jesus, the Dial family, Peter, and here the apostles, they're not the focus. God is, and his work in them and through them, because they surrendered and they were found faithful to him. Brings me to my next slide. Faithfulness blesses others. And so their faithfulness, Peter's faithfulness to the Lord and to God's calling on his life, just imagine your shadow pass. I mean, people just sitting and your shadow blesses other people. That is amazing. And you know what? We can find in Scripture because of faithfulness in God. Because you would be found faithful to him. Because you're not living for your own agenda. You're living for God's agenda. Brings me to my second point. Our faithfulness blesses or benefits those around us. Look around you. Look at this building. Look at the lights. Look at the chairs you're sitting in. That all did not happen by chance. It started because this Dial family was surrendered to God and said, God, use us. I tell you what, you could probably ask them, was there a moment or a time that you thought, where are the people? It's just us four in this room. And you know what? They would still have praise and worship. And you know what? Pastor Dial would still preach that message. Faithfulness. Maybe at some time, at some moment, they got excited when they had one. They got excited when they had some new people and they were kids. Not adults, but kids. I wonder if the next Sunday or the following Sunday, when the kids didn't come because the parents said, we're not bringing those kids anymore, did they feel down and say, you know what, we're not going to quit. Or you know what, we're going to quit. We're not going to do this anymore. Did that thought ever cross their mind? I'm not sure. Ask Sister Dial. But we all know that it didn't. We're all benefiting, you see, because of their faithfulness to God's calling on their life. It blesses us. How many of you have children that have been ministered to here over the course of months or years? Because of someone's faithfulness, it has blessed you. You have benefited from that faithfulness. And imagine if we are faithful to God, the people that would be blessed and that would benefit from our faithfulness to our Father. God could have used anyone. God could have used someone else. Because he was looking for someone surrendered and willing. And I'm thankful that he used the Dial family. Now, I don't know where my wife is at. She's probably in the room with Eden over there. But tomorrow's a special day for us. And this is why I'm saying our faithfulness blesses others. Tomorrow we celebrate 24 years of marriage. Our wedding anniversary. My faithfulness to my wife blesses our children. It benefits them and blesses them. Because God is at the center of our marriage, of our life. And again, the focus is not how great of a husband I am or how good looking I am. It's not about that. I knew you would laugh. It's not about Shannon. We aren't the focus because we are not the origin of power or strength. God is. God is the one who has been so merciful in teaching me how to be the husband that I'm supposed to be, how to be the father that I'm supposed to be, how to be the man of God that I'm supposed to be. Our faithfulness to God benefits those around us, in our home, in our neighborhood, wherever you work, in our community. You see how our faithfulness to God, it's not just, yeah, I'm a Christian. And some people consider Christianity as a sticker that says, hello, my name is Christian. But then they're able to peel it off whenever they don't feel like it. That's not faithfulness. Faithfulness is, okay, you know what? I will admit my mistakes. I will admit that I'm not perfect and I do things wrong. God, thank you for forgiving me. God, help me. God, I look to you. I lean not on my own understanding, but I acknowledge you in all my ways so that you can lead and direct my steps. God, I need you. Because of that, my faithfulness, I months and years later, I can still say I follow God. And it is because of God, not of me. Let me give you an example. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9. In the New King James Version, we find that Samuel, he's doing something. And again, it's not Samuel, it's God doing the work through Samuel. Samuel took a suckling lamb, a baby lamb, and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord over Israel for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called it Ebenezer. Those of you that never knew what Ebenezer meant, you might have seen a church sign that said Ebenezer. It means thus, for the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come, listen, they did not come anymore into the territory of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Not because of Samuel, it's because of God working through Samuel and Samuel's faithfulness to say, God, here I am, use me. I'm surrendered and humbled before you. Verse 14, then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored. So God restores. We're restored in Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and all the Amorites. All of this because God working through someone who is surrendered and humble. Think of where you live, the street you live on, the subdivision where you live. If you would remain faithful, remain humble, remain surrendered to God, the blessings that will come upon the people where you live. Now, some of you think that's not going to happen because you don't know my neighbor. Well, you don't know my God, or you kind of forgot the God that you served. Because God can do all things, and there's nothing impossible for him. He can save, he can restore, and he can bring peace. He can issue. I mean, just think of this, that you can walk into your workplace and bring in the peace of God with you because you're. It's not you. It's not because of how great of a worker you are, how many times you get, things turned in on time, but it is because of God in you, working through you, that you can usher the peace of God into your workplace. Remaining surrendered to God and humble, and being a humble vessel to live according to his word. This is it. This is what impacts your life and the life of those around you. Next slide. God blesses us to bless others. I like this picture. God blesses us to be a blessing to others. It's not so that you can hoard it and keep it and be the only one that gets to experience it. The blessings that God gives you, it's not for you. I mean, this is a great example, and I'm living it. And pray, please pray for me because I'm having to walk in this in the next few months. But, I mean, Lydia, she is God's gift to me. And I've had her, and now it's the Lord's like, okay, you got to let her go. Now, some of you would probably be quick to push him on. But for me, I have to deal with that. And it was as difficult for Josiah. And I'm not saying that with Josiah it was easy because he's just a boy. But, I mean, it was difficult. And I'm having to walk in this again. I'm glad I don't have to worry about this for another four more years when it's Ezra's time to go. But God is teaching me, look, I'm watching, I'm covering, I'm going to protect her, and she's in my hands. You got to let her go. And so what God has given to us, don't look at it as, oh, it's mine, it's all mine. No, it's for me. And then when God says, let it go, I got to let it go. Faithfulness to him, being surrendered. So God worked through a surrendered vessel. Our faithfulness to God and his kingdom blesses the people around us, just like it did in Acts chapter 8, verses 4. Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, New King James. It says those. Now, I want to stop there. Those are new believers in Christ because in verse 1, it says that the apostles didn't scatter. So those who had been scattered preached the word of God, of Jesus, wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. There's the attraction. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. There's some great things going on. So there was great joy in that city. Can you say revival? Yeah, right? Revival? I thank God for sending me to this area. to meet my wife, to receive the call of ministry. You know, I had, for many years, I had to work past the lies that the enemy was throwing at me. Had to work past and work through the lies of, you married into this ministry. God didn't call you to preach. God didn't call you to be a pastor. And I had to press through. And going back, I had to believe and stand strong on the fact that God spoke to me as I read Jeremiah chapter 1 in my Marine Corps barracks, in my room, all by myself. When I read Jeremiah chapter 1 and he called me to preach. When he gave me images of speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ to teenagers to help them to not live life of regrets, as much as regrets as I had at that time. And God giving me those pictures and that vision. And then God calling me to be a minister of the gospel. I have to go back to that. But I thank God the fact that I came to this area and the fact that because of what God wants to do in my life is as I remain faithful to him, he will continue to do. Philip was faithful to the Lord. There was revival going on. You know what? Verse 26 through 40, we find out that Philip, he wasn't hung up on the emotions. He wasn't hung up on the commotion of what was going on in revival. He was faithful to God. You know, we can be faithful to stuff instead of God. You can get to a point where you're faithful with God, and because of all the stuff you accumulated and your job and all the success in your life, you can become faithful to that and lose out on who you were supposed to be faithful to. Philip was being used by God. He preached the gospel. People were delivered from demons. It says, with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many. People who were lame were beginning to walk. There was great joy in that city because he was faithful. Verse 26 of that same chapter says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Notice what it says next. This is desert. Already telling him where you're going in the desert. And the desert is hot. And the desert is uncomfortable. Don't get caught up in all the things that's going on, that when God gives you an instruction to go somewhere that may not seem really all that great and totally different than what's going on, don't get caught up in what's going on that you fail to respond where God is calling you and sending you to be. Philip heard what the Lord said. This is desert. Verse 27. So he arose and went. So he arose and went. Just in case you forgot, revival is going on in Samaria. He arose and went. We can miss those divine moments that God sets up for us because we're too busy. We're too focused on self, or how many of you can attest to this? You're too lazy. You're too lazy. Okay, me and about four other people need prayer. The rest of you guys, you're all good on that. This is a great passage to study, and I encourage you to go over that. We see Philip not being moved by emotion. Lord, let that be my prayer, not to be moved by emotion or commotion, that I refuse to go where you're calling me to go. I refuse to do what you're telling me to do. But Lord, I want to be faithful to you, not to the stuff that's going on. I think that's really, it sets home when Jesus sent his disciples out, and they came back and said, Lord, man, evil demons and spirits, they were listening to us as we told them to get out, and we were rebuking people. And the Lord says, don't get all worked up about that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice about that. I think this really just sets home the fact that, man, I don't want to get so caught up in what's going on. God, I want to get caught up in what you want for me and what you have for me. Miracles occurring, people that were possessed, delivered, people that were lame, walking, revival going on. Yet Philip, I want to be like that. Not get caught up, but being surrendered and continue to be surrendered. Not get caught up in the emotions, but say, Father, I want to be found faithful by you. So an Ethiopian eunuch was returning home from worshiping God in Jerusalem. He's sitting in his chariot and he's reading the scroll of Isaiah. They didn't have books, so he probably had scrolls. And so Acts chapter 8, verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Now I'm thinking, is he about to carjack this chariot? No, but to go near and talk to this person. So Philip ran to the chariot and heard this Ethiopian eunuch reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? I mean, it's like sign right there. The Lord has created something. Are you going to do something about it? There have been awesome moments when the Lord has led me to a certain place, especially to a certain store, or just to talk to somebody, and there's no distractions. I've said this before. There's no distractions. I don't know about you, but do you really need a big sign that says, God's saying, this is the time. Be used. Say what I want you to say. But man, those moments where I chose not to go into that store, I chose not to go back into the store. Well, God, I got my list. I got the stuff that I'm supposed to get. I got to go to... I chose not to go back in. The moment, the divine moment, I probably missed because I was too caught up in what I wanted to do. But not what this is. This, we don't find that Philip did this. Opportunities like this just doesn't happen by chance. So I pray that we would all look for divine moments that God creates, and our faithfulness to Him will create those divine moments. We'll open doors for God to set up something so that we can do or say something that He wants us to say. Here's another example. This is about 4 years ago, maybe more than that. Shannon is at the park, and I think I mentioned the story, but it's been a long time, so I'll say it again. Shannon is at the park. She's at the playground. Now, she's faithful to God in ministry. And this is the reason why I say this. There are several people from Hidden Treasures at the park, at the ball field, and this is in Lions Park. And Shannon is in the playground. She might have been in the playground with Silas or Ezra. So that's, you know, kind of gives you an idea how long ago it was. Shannon's being faithful to God in ministry. It benefits this woman because there's this woman at the same park in the same playground with her kids. And if you know Shannon, she's not an outgoing person, likes to go up and shake people's hands and start talking to them. But she's not like the Lord is working in her, helping her to be more like that. But if you ask Shannon, she'd be like, no, that is too hard for me. But because of her faithfulness to God and ministry, this woman benefits at the same playground with her kids. A conversation begins, an explanation probably of all the crazy people at the softball field being all loud. An invitation to church is given, and like I said, 4+ years ago. That woman right now is over in Sunday School Kids Church teaching our kids. She is teaching the children in Kids Church. You see how our faithfulness to God in ministry and His calling with His agenda, it benefits and blesses others around us? That now this woman and her children are in, I mean, their family. I mean, she's probably got me, I don't know this, but she probably, you know, has Christian music, you know, on at her house and reads Bible stories. And now, look, you know what? God could have used somebody else if Shannon says, Lord, I ain't going up to that woman. I don't even know her. She don't know me. And come up with all kinds of excuses. The same kind of excuses we like to use to God when God tells us to do something. We come up with all kinds of excuses. This woman is teaching Sunday's kids' church right now. The last slide. Divine connections. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down to the road, let me just cut to the chase. He preaches and he shares Jesus, and the Ethiopian eunuch says this, "What forbids me to get baptized?" And he tells him, and this eunuch confesses Jesus, gives his life to the Lord. They get baptized, and what happens is so awesome, so a divine moment, that as that Ethiopian eunuch gets baptized, when he comes up out of the water, Philip is, beam me up, Scotty, the Lord takes him. And it says that the Lord takes him to a town called Azotus. Azotus is in Palestine. Do you remember what the angel of the Lord told Philip where to go? He told him to go on this road from Jerusalem to Gaza in the desert. Now, Azotus is not around the corner. It's in Palestine, probably a good 50 miles away. God snatched him up and sent him to Azotus. And there, Philip continues to do what God is calling him to do. Our faithfulness to God will create divine moments that God will set up and orchestrate for us to be used for His glory, for His kingdom. It'll enable us to walk through an open door that God can only open and no one can close. At any point, Philip could have said, the desert, I ain't going in the desert, but he didn't. So we can be encouraged. Lord, if I remain faithful, Lord, help me to remain faithful. Lord, help me to stay true to you. Lord, help me not to get caught up in the emotions of life. Our faithfulness to God and His will makes a difference both here now and in eternity. just like it's doing right now. Right now for Chanel and her family. And in eternity, in Jesus' name. This mentality shows the focus of our faithfulness. Lord, help me to be faithful. In a little bit, I'm going to ask Joe to play this song. And the prayer is going to go up on the screen. It's a closing prayer. I battled with how to close this message. And we're going to have one song, and that prayer is going to be up on the screen. At the end of the song, feel free to be dismissed. If you need prayer, we'll be glad to pray with you. There'll be several people up here that will be glad to pray with you and agree with you over God's word over the situation. Agree with you with God's word over the situation in your life.